Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. My name is Gina Nicola, and I am part of the teaching team here at New Life. And so some of you have probably been with us the past few weeks, where we have gone through the sermon series, Live a Better Story. And I love this whole idea of story, because when you think about it, all of us have a story. Like, if I was to ask you right now, if I was to tell you that you were going to come up here and you were going to share with everybody what your story is, or if we were going to have a one-on-one and you were going to tell me about yourself and what your story is, what is the first thing that comes to mind? I know that some of you instantly went to where you were born, who you were born to, the siblings that you have, the geographical areas, the schools you went to, all the way up to present. Some of you actually would go to the place where you have done well, the achievements in life. You would talk about what you've achieved, the goals that you had set for yourself and that you attain, and then those goals that you're still looking to achieve later. And I know that there are others who would spend time instantly thinking about trauma and the things that have happened to them and how their story is evolved in a kind of all around this trauma and overcoming and surviving the things that have happened against them. But I'm also aware that there is a group that might have instantly gone to that little black box. That little box in your head, in your heart, and you ran there and you double-checked to make sure it's locked and that it's double-locked and that what's in that box doesn't leak out into your story. Because if you were going to tell your story, you would want to make sure that no one knows about your secrets or your sins or your shortcomings for the fear that someone might not like you. Or they might not accept you. So for some, that's the first place you go to make sure that there will be no leaking into your story. But no matter how we look at it, we all have unique stories. We come from a unique place, and yet we also have similar stories. In the last couple days, my daughter had texted me. She's away at college. I had been sick this whole last week, and she was just checking on me. And I wasn't actually doing that well, but not because of sickness. I wasn't doing that well because I had opened up the news and saw that once again, we had had another shooting. And it was killing me in the moment. More young people, more people losing their lives, and I was crying out to God at that particular moment, how many more times are we going to do this? God, when is your kingdom going to come? How much longer? How is this going to end? How can you use me to make a change? Just do whatever you have to do to bring change to this world. Save us. My daughter had texted me back and forth, not knowing what to do, because she has a friend who was affected by the shooting and she was asking for help. And I honestly wasn't sure what to say other than to just listen and be there. And I realized that the stories that we tell are based on experience. But I also realized that if we were to ask the people of these mass shootings that seem to be happening every week, or people who are affected by fire, if we were to ask them 2 weeks ago what their story was, it would have been dramatically different than what they're going to tell from this day forward. And what I realized is that we are all affected by what's happening in this world. It is happening to them, but it ripples into us, and we are devastated. And as believers and followers of Christ, we mourn with them, and we hurt. And I bet you there is a ton of people in here who know people who have evacuated, who have lost everything, who are affected by the crimes and the things that are going on in this world. And it's been a really interesting and tough week. And so I think about story and how we're asking you and trying to get together as one large family and as a church and as a community to live a better story. I had someone say to me, what does that even mean? Live a better story. I don't get what you mean by live God's story. I said, that's what we mean. I know we have unique experiences and we're not telling you that they're not valid. But we are part of a greater story. We are part of God's story. That when we read this book, this Bible, We want to make sure that you don't look at this as just a bunch of rules in which you tell people what to do or who's in or who's out, or be able to say to them, you're a sinner, or bless you. We don't want this to just to be a table decoration that you put out there so when people come in, they think that you're a believer. We are in this story. And as we've gone through the last couple weeks, starting in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we learn in chapters 1 and 2 that God created man and woman. He created everyone in his image. And he looked at creation and he said, it is good. Not just us, not just those that you said I love you to this morning, but every single person in this world God loves. And he sees as his creation and he says, it is good. Those people that you say I love you to and those people that you wish ill will on. Those people who you didn't have a great time driving down the road with today. Those people who your head spins off your body every time they talk to you. God loves them too, and he sees them as good. The last couple weeks, especially this last week, someone I love said to me, see, there is no God. See, and if there is a God, there is nothing good about your God. Because if God was good, the things that we read on the news wouldn't be happening. These things wouldn't happen to us. He'd stop it. Your God is not good. And I realized the brokenness and the pain of the voice that was talking to me. I know it is hard, but when we read our story, when we read and put ourselves and realize that we are part of this story, and we read chapter 3 of Genesis, we read about the fall. And we see sin and evil come into the world with the bite of an apple. And whether you've been in church your whole life or you've never been in church, it seems like everybody's heard about eating the forbidden fruit. And in that moment, when they bite that apple, they choose to follow their own will. They choose to trust themselves. They choose to decide that whatever God has for them isn't enough. I want more. And can't we all relate? Can't we all see ourselves biting that apple and saying to God, I don't want to do your will, I want to do my will. And it occurred to me how many times, not just looking at God and saying, I'm not doing your will, how many times in my life I have walked around and didn't even consider God in the equation. I just did my desires. You can think of countless times in life where I just did what I wanted to do. I didn't care about anyone else. I didn't care about God. We can all think of times where we bit the apple, where we said, my will, not yours. And it's interesting as you read the whole New Testament, Old Testament, and we see where man constantly is doing their own will and sinning against God, and God is saying, but I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to continuously make a way. I'm going to start fresh. We're going to start new so we can have relationship because I love my creation. And so we see throughout the Old Testament, through Moses and Noah and Abraham, where he sets his people free, where he gives us a fresh start. And everybody's excited and they're going to follow God. And then it's just not enough again. Where human beings say again, I want to do it my way. I want more power. I want more wealth. I want to be better than that person. I want to look nicer. I want to live longer. I want, I want, I want. And we totally disregard God. And throughout the entire Old Testament, you still hear of prophets saying, God is going to bring us someone. He's going to bring us a Messiah. There's going to be a way. And even though they hear that, they still do their own thing. But I think about how we are, how many times we mess up in life, how our tolerance level is for others. Some of us are like, you get one chance. You blow it, you're out. Some of us are like, you just totally annoy me. I'm washing my hands of you. Done. No grace. And God endlessly never gives up in wanting and chasing and telling us that he loves us, that he wants relationship with us, that he wants to find and create and provide and do all things for us to be in right relationship with him. And so we get to the through the Old Testament and we get to the New Testament, and Jesus provides us a Savior. He gives us Jesus, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We can't do it on our own. He doesn't give up on us, but he realizes you guys are not going to fix this. You cannot do anything to make this better. We need God. We need a Savior. And what's interesting is that at the time that Jesus comes, if you've ever really read the setting and how the world is, the Israelites are not in control. They've lost everything. Rome is in control. And there's these four basic beliefs of how the Messiah will come, how God's kingdom will come onto the earth. There's the belief that by war, let's have a revolt. Let's have everybody stand up on behalf of the Israelites and let's just overthrow Rome. And then God's kingdom will come. Then there's the belief that if I'm just compliant, kind of walk both worlds. Like, I don't really like what they're doing, but they've got really clean and shiny temples. So I'm going to do that, one foot there. But I'm also going to have one foot in God. How long? May your kingdom come. I think about people I know today who tell me, well, I'm saved, but what if he's not really real? Like, what if this whole thing's not good? So I'm going to try and be famous and wealthy and on top here and well here, one foot there. But, you know, you come back, I'm right here, I'm over here. One foot in each world, trying to walk both. But then there's also the belief system of the Pharisees, that if you keep the law perfect, it's through them keeping the perfect law, not sinning, doing everything they say, that they will usher in the kingdom of God. They really believe that. And then there's a whole nother group. They're like, I'm just out of here. I don't want any of it. And they leave and they isolate themselves. And some of them create monastic communities where they go and they separate themselves from everything that's going on. And they're going to pray and they're going to fast. And they're going to usher in the kingdom of God. And what I find fascinating and typical of God, he doesn't do it any of those ways. He sends us a son through the Virgin who is both man and God. And he sends us a Savior who lives amongst the Israelites and the people. And we don't hear much about Jesus' young life, except for at 12 years old, where we realize at 12, he is studying the scriptures. He knows it. He knows his Father. And then we read in Matthew and throughout the Gospels that Jesus comes and follows John the Baptist. And he wants to be baptized. And John the Baptist had been proclaiming, someone greater than me is coming. And there he is, and he's like, I want to be baptized. And I'm sure John the Baptist is like, but I want to be baptized. You baptize me. No, you baptize me. And the thing is Jesus walked amongst the people. And he goes down into the water, and have you really thought about this? He goes down into the water, and he comes up. And the voice of God says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus starts to say, follow me. Follow me. Come, follow me. Stop what you're doing. Follow me. And he has his disciples, and he's saying to us today, come, follow me. Live a better story. And he teaches, and he walks, and he heals, and he does everything no one wants him to do because it doesn't fit in their box. But God didn't come to fulfill man's desires. He came because he wanted right relationship with us, because he wants us to live the story that he created and intended us to have. And as I'm reading through Matthew, I was asking myself, amongst everything that's going on, what does it mean to live a better story right here, right now? Because a lot of times I hear from people, well, when I die, when I get to heaven. But we're here. We're his disciples. What does it mean to have God's kingdom come? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I realize as I read and get to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, we come across something called the Beatitudes. And when we read the Beatitudes, we realize the implications of having Jesus come and having his kingdom here on earth. And we're going to look at that this morning. It starts in Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, in chapter 5, and it reads like this in verse 1. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they are called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evils about you and against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. See, God, he gives us Jesus. He gives us a Savior, but he turns everything upside down. Even what the Israelites thought would happen, he turned it upside down. And how does he do that? Well, think about what the world says to us. You should come out on top. You should be successful. You should have tons of people be your friends on Facebook. You should have tons of likes on Instagram. You should make an Instagram story about all the things that make you famous. You should wear name brand clothes. You should be rich. You should have, you should have, you should have. You should be better, greater than the person sitting next to you. And Jesus comes and says, I'm not here for that. I came for those who are poor in spirit. I came for those who are mourning. I came for those who are seeking justice. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about the Beatitudes much. A lot of times we just look at it as a great teaching. I've heard people say that it's a great philosophical way to live your life, but it's not something that we're supposed to just do. It's not supposed to be like, oh yeah, I should be humble right now. It is supposed to be something that we are transformed in. This is wonderful news. This is the implication of God's kingdom on earth. This is wonderful news. And I love it because when you translate the word blessed, it can be happy, but can actually be translated into wonderful news. So if you read it this way, wonderful news for those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Kingdom of heaven could be the kingdom of God is theirs. Wonderful news for those of you who are poor and realize your need for him. The kingdom of God is now. Jesus came. He bore every single one of our sins. He went to the cross. He was beaten. He died, but he rose again. He is our living hope. He defeated death. He defeated everything that we are going through. He is our Savior. Wonderful news, the kingdom of God has come to earth through Jesus. Have we really thought about that? Wonderful news, those of you who are mourning. You don't have to take it to the grave by yourself. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be depressed alone. You don't have to be sad. Your expectations that have been burst, you do not have to deal with that alone, because the Spirit of God is right here, right now. And he is comforting you. Wonderful news for those who seek justice, because they will be satisfied, and it will not be the way man thinks it should be. Do we realize that we are not just a saved people? I know we tell people on a regular basis, accept Jesus and be saved. But a lot of times what we're communicating is, we don't want you to go to hell. We want you to go to heaven. And that is true. But what we also want, what I think is even more important, is we want a transformed people. People who are living according to the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, and see one another in God's story. How would we treat one another if we see them as our brothers and sisters? How do we love one another? How do we mourn together if the Holy Spirit is tying us together and working through us? How do we deal with tragedy? How is it different in those of us who are being transformed than those of us who don't know him yet? The difference is that we know, we believe, and we stand on the truth that they will be satisfied because God's got this. We don't understand what's happening. We know that evil has come into the world. We also know we've been sent a Savior. And through him, our lives can be so transformed. We can be set on fire. And I know some of you are like, what does that mean? Do you realize that your whole life, more and more as we press into God, we read his word, we pray, we know him, we say, make me what you want me to be. Let me be the creation that you created me to be. That we can change to a place in which we desire more and more and more to do his will and not ours. That when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, what we're saying is Jesus, he came for us. And right now, your will be done through us. So your kingdom can be done, because you know what? One day, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth will collide. And we want to be his people and his disciples. We want this entire world that when every knee will bow, they will know that he is Lord, because they have already given their life to him. See, live a better story is not just, we just want you to be happier. Matter of fact, I had someone this week say to me, it sounds like living God's story is horrid. And he was honest. He's all, it's hard. He's all, I don't see a lot of joy in it. He's all, I don't know what to do with this live God story, as I just would rather live in my house. It's safe and it's predictable. And I thanked him for his honesty, and he's not so wrong. It's not horrid, but it's hard. When you read this story, if you tell your own story, it's not just good stuff. It is difficult to stand for the Lord. It is difficult to fight the voices in our heads. It is difficult to fight against what people tell you you are. And if those of you have heard me before, you know that I continuously challenge you to say, when you hear those voices, when someone tells you that you're something else, that you say, I am the son, I am the daughter of the Most High God. Continuously proclaiming him. This is our story. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we worship a God who is relentless in his pursuit of who we are, of his creation. This week, as I was trying to deal with everything that was going on and come up with a sermon, and say to God, what is it that you want me to say? What does it mean to live a better story? I read through Matthew and realized that in chapter 6, there was the Lord's Prayer, and I caught myself saying it over and over again. I learned it in a different version, where it goes that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done to live a better story. It's for his will to be done. If you're here today and you've never said to yourself, man, I need a savior, and you're realizing I do, right here, right now is the time to declare and just blurt out loud or say it to yourself, Jesus, I need you. He saves you right here, right now. The Spirit moves. Spirit, fill us. For those of us who know you, may we continuously be transformed. May we be a church that doesn't just gather here on Sunday and Saturday night, but may we be a church that is infecting our entire community, that is rippling out in a way in which your love is known, that transformation can change, that we can love one another. Wouldn't it be incredible to have our behaviors, our attitudes, our voice, our thought process, our whole being be transformed by the Holy Spirit? We all are growing and changing. We all need a Savior. We all need to continuously seek Him. How I want to end this evening or this morning is that I want you to know that we will always pray for you. There will be people up here to pray for you. If you want to go out onto the patio, we will pray for you. Not because we are any better than anyone else. You can just reach over and pray for each other. Through the power of Holy Spirit, we will come with the words. He will speak to us. We just need to pray and be here for one another. If you want to talk about what you're learning, about how to live a better story, we will talk with you. But I realized that this week, the Lord's Prayer wasn't coming through my head for no reason. And so I want us to end this morning. Will you join me and stand as we read the Lord's Prayer? We're going to read it in the New Living Translation. And I'd like you to really think about the words that you're saying. It reads like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. As you go today, may you spend time repeating the Lord's Prayer. May your name be kept holy, Lord. May we forgive because we have been forgiven. And may you keep us from the temptation of evil. May we have the eyes, the hearts, the mind, and the spirit in which you intended to create us with. May we see this world the way you see it. So as you go today, I just pray blessings upon you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.